Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob, 2 weeks in a row, I'm feeling very lucky. How are you?
Not as lucky as I, Evan. I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
Now, I've got five choices of where you are right now. Don't tell me, okay? The five choices are, of course, the four locations of the playoff games this week. And in choice five is you're in your shorts in the backyard, wherever you live, enjoying the weather. So I'm going to guess. I'm going to go with Baltimore, Maryland. That's my guess.
Evan, I have the best hotel room in Baltimore, Maryland I've ever had in my life.
Nice.
It was just like, I'm just overlooking Inner Harbor. I feel like the luckiest guy on earth. It's kind of unbelievable.
Oh,
but yes, I will be here for Lamar Jackson versus Ryan Tannehill, and we'll see what happens tonight.
Wow, I'm proud of myself. I had a 20% chance here, and I nailed it. Yeah.
Well, you know, good job. That was the plan all along, and it's all good.
My theory on why I picked Baltimore is probably not fair towards Newsday at all, but I certainly in my brain, I always think that companies want to spend the least amount of money on travel. So I figure Wisconsin, Kansas City, Santa Clara, or Maryland, and
well,
I come up with Maryland.
Okay, that's fine. Good job. But first of all, Newsday does spend, and I am fortunate to work for a company that still does things the right way in terms of coverage. The original plan was if Tom Brady won last week, I would be in Kansas City battling the elements and watching the Mahomes-Brady rematch in the playoffs. That would have been a tremendous game, but obviously it didn't happen, and the Patriots are, you know, where they are, and I'm in Baltimore.
And you have a chance to see the best team in the NFL against this upstart Tennessee Titan team. I've been thinking about this all week because I appreciate the Titans, what they did last week. I think America appreciates what the Titans did last week. I have a tough time believing that they can go into Baltimore and even keep this game close because I don't think Derrick Henry running for 180 yards would even be enough. What are your impressions on what the Titans have to do to even keep this game close and, dare I say, pull off another big upset?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I'm interested to see how Baltimore does in terms of the long layoff. Because remember, their key starters didn't play Week 17 because they had everything wrapped up. So will rust be a factor early? Maybe. But I do think they're clearly the better team. And teams that get the week off, they find their way. And it's just it's always an advantage to get that rest leading up to a game like this. And I'll have to agree with you. I think Derrick Henry is a great talent. Love watching him play. Big guy, fast, strong, smart, shifty. I mean, he's everything you want in a running back, and he's great, but, you know, you have to have good quarterback play. And Tannehill has been a great story. He's been a great comeback story, but, you know, you're talking about playing against the best team. Now, it's not the best defense in football, but it's a very good defense. And I think, you know, Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, has done it. I love saying that.
I
actually saw Wink Martindale on television years ago. So he's done a great job with this defense. It's good. They play good team defense. It's not, you know, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, kick your butt with a great pass rush and tenacious tackling defense. It's just good, smart, fundamental defense. And I think that matches up well against Tennessee. Which I think is going to have a good time. I'll have to agree with you on that one.
You know, I go back to last week because it was still so euphoric thinking about the Tennessee Titans going into New England beating the Patriots. But Bill Belichick showed his hand, I thought, twice in the fourth quarter about how, I guess, the lack of confidence he had in this offense. He punted on fourth and three from midfield early in the fourth quarter down a point. And then I thought the big one with 3 minutes to go in the game, knowing the Titans are going to pound the ball with Derrick Henry, even though he had three timeouts, punting on a fourth and six from his own 35. I thought Bill showed us twice hey, I have no confidence in this offense, and the only way we're going to win this game is the defense is going to make some kind of big play and put six on the board that way.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that and those assessments too. Bill Belichick didn't have the same offense, and Tom Brady was not the same quarterback. I mean, how many times I'm sitting in the press box watching, all right, here it comes. I've seen this script so many times before, regular season, key games, playoffs. Teams come in there, they play them even, maybe get ahead, and then in the end, you know, New England is smart, Brady makes a play, boom, done, it's over. Every single time. And it just didn't happen. I mean, no points in the second half. When have you seen that, and when have you seen Tom Brady misfire on so many passes? You know, you're right. Belichick did not have confidence in that offense, and I think his decision making on fourth down certainly reflected it. You go back to that play in Indianapolis a couple of years ago when he went for it on fourth down,
right,
at 30, something like that. People were saying he's crazy, but analytics wise, it was the right move to do. I think they lost that game, but ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. But that, yeah, he doesn't have that aggressive mentality because he couldn't trust his offense. He didn't have a Gronkowski. His receivers were young and inexperienced and not making plays. And his running game was just so-so. It was not indicative of the Patriots teams we've been seeing for the last 20 years.
Being up there last week, did you get any more insight from the people around the Patriots on what they think is going to happen with Tom Brady, if they actually think he's going to be playing for a different team next year?
I would say, I was around him in the press conference. I came away, and I think, look, nobody truly knows because Brady is not giving it away, and the Patriots certainly aren't either. But I got more clarity in his post-game remarks sitting there listening to him when he was asked, do you plan on retiring? And it's doubtful. It's doubtful that I'm going to retire. So I thought that was a very important window into his thinking. He said very, very nice things about the Patriots. I think, you know, at the end of the day, if he can work out a deal with New England, he'd love to stay. The question is, how much love are they going to show him with a contract? How long are they going to show him with a contract? And can he live with whatever they offer? Or is he going to, you know, kind of get tempted by a lot of riches out there? Look, the guy's fabulously wealthy, and he's married to a supermodel who is wealthier than he is. But, you know, the guy's competitive. The guy wants to play. Someone's going to give him a chance, and he's going to have to weigh that. Someone's going to make him an offer that is far more lucrative than it is in New England, and right, he's going to have to decide what his ego will want.
It's starting to feel like, because for years, Bill Belichick would get rid of players maybe a year before we all thought he would get rid of players, and showed, hey, he's a shrewd GM/coach/businessman, and I think we all wondered, will he do that to Tom Brady? Well, I guess this is his chance.
Well, this is his chance, Evan, but like he wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo if he possibly could, and then I think things would have been different. He would have had, you know, he wouldn't have felt badly if it came down to like choosing Garoppolo now over a 42, 43-year-old Brady. So, but what's the alternative right now? The alternative is, you know, Stidham. No, that's not going to work. He'd have to get somebody else, and the best alternative right now at quarterback still is Tom Brady in New England, but the Patriots will do it their way. And I think even Bob Kraft is softening on this idea that he can live without Tom Brady. I think he's just going in with the idea that they want to make sense with a contract. I hope it works out for him in New England, because I think that is the best spot for him. Because I don't think he wins elsewhere. Everyone has to get used to a totally different way of doing things, which is great. I mean, he can do this, but, you know, even Tom Brady, that's going to take time. Systems take time to get used to for the other players around him.
Talking to Bob Glauber from Newsday, divisional weekend. The first game this weekend is San Francisco, Minnesota. I think most of us are just surprised that Minnesota's here. We figured the Saints would beat them a week ago, give them a lot of credit. Do you give them much of a chance to go into San Francisco and beat the number one seed?
Yeah, I give them some chance. I think of all the four games, looking for an upset, I do like the home teams this weekend, but I think that's the one game where you could argue that Minnesota does have a puncher's chance. I think defensively they're very good. They showed that against the Saints, and you know, I think they have a chance there. Now, the other thing there is what happens with Garoppolo. I mean, here he is. This is it. He's the guy now in a playoff situation. So I don't know that this is going to be a dominant performance for a guy making his first playoff start. And I don't know how the 49ers are going to take to kind of being on the spot here after a 4-12 season and two losing seasons by Kyle Shanahan, suddenly being the number one seed, having their way and putting a good performance on the field. So I do like San Francisco, but I do give Minnesota a puncher's chance in this one.
Now, I think the big question for the Texans, do we see first half Houston Texans from the Buffalo game or the second half led by Deshaun Watson playing like a Superman and avoiding tackles and making big plays? Which Texans team do we see tomorrow in Kansas City?
Well, I think all things being equal, I like the Chiefs to kind of make the Texans look more like that first half team against the Bills. Now, you know, I think Deshaun Watson can do some things, but defensively, Kansas City is terrific. Now, this Chris Jones injury is really, that's problematic. And this kind of popped up out of nowhere. He's got a calf, didn't practice yesterday. They need him. And this is a defense that really kind of needs that good line play. And it's been much better. Steve Spagnuolo, Giants fans remember this guy, man. It was tough early in 2007, and it got great toward the end. That's what's happening in Kansas City, but Jones is an integral part of that. I still think Kansas City is the class of that game. I love Mahomes. I don't think the guy's played a bad football game in his life in the NFL, and I don't expect to see it tomorrow.
Yeah, when you look at Green Bay, and they've had a hell of a year, they won 13 games. I know a lot of the games were ugly, a lot of the games were close, but they went out and won 13 games. But a big part of why they did it is because they signed two free agents who were not considered superstars in free agency in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, and both guys have played like all pros. And I think that's sort of a template for the Giants, that it's not always going out and get the biggest name possible, it's getting the right guys. But a franchise that normally doesn't dip its toes in a free agency like Green Bay, that's the main reason why they won 13 games. I mean, give Matt LaFleur a lot of credit, but the offense has been kind of average. It's been about those two guys, really.
Yep, it really has been. And you know, throw in Mike Pettine in there, who has kind of known what to do with those two guys. The pass rush is much better. I think Pettine, you know, he's a terrific defensive mind, and he has been as important to this team as any single factor. So it's been good. But I do think, you know, we'll see. You know, do we see the coronation of Drew Brees here? Do we see Drew Brees finally get? Oh wait, that was last week.
Yeah.
I didn't forget you.
I know. Hey, I was wrong, man.
You thought you were going to slip through, didn't you?
Listen, man. I thought since day one, this is what? The Saints season. This is Breeze's season. And the last thing I saw coming was what we saw last week. And by the way, Sean Payton did not do a brilliant job managing the clock in that football game.
Nope, he didn't. But let this be a lesson to all of us. And I've kind of learned this one. That poetic justice thing, it's great, and it's a really good storyline. It would be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, they came so close to that non-call. But, man, so much happens between then and now that, you know, you just team of destiny. Yeah. Hey, you know what? They didn't get home field advantage in the playoffs, and that was going to be a slog no matter what. So that should be a lesson, and I think of that, Bob? I remember it.
Here's the lesson I've learned. I am never picking the New Orleans Saints to win a Super Bowl again. I'm done. Wow. I'm off the bandwagon. They've burned me too many times.
I think you're okay there. You know why? Because all of a sudden, 40-year-old quarterbacks looked old. You know, we saw McCown, we saw Breeze, and we saw Brady. And, you know, Father Time was he was starting to turn the tables on all three of those guys. And you know, it's very tough to win in this league. And the Saints, to me, the formula is if they don't have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, I'm not picking them to go all the way.
I got to ask you a dumb question, all right? Because I can't figure this out.
No such thing as a dumb question.
All right, we'll see. I'm going to put it to the test right now. Because Joe and I can't figure this out. You know, Mike McCarthy, he got the Dallas job. Good for him. We'll see what happens. He's been kind of maligned over the last year. You know, he's been kind of, do you really want McCarthy? The game has passed him by. Rodgers didn't love him, blah, blah, blah. Him and Sean Payton have incredibly similar resumes. They basically are the same age. They started McCarthy in Green Bay, Payton in New Orleans at the same time. They both have had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They both have won one Super Bowl, and they both have had a lot of bad playoff losses. Why is Mike McCarthy regarded as this blah, and Sean Payton is regarded as this oh my God, he's Sean Payton. Because both of them have very different perceptions around the league, yet their resumes and their careers have a lot of similarities.
Yeah. I was all set to say that's a dumb question, but just for, you know, giggles. But that's a really good question, and I mean it. And I think there's something to that. I think what it probably is this. You didn't see the kind of drama in New Orleans that you did, you know, with quarterback coach that you did in Green Bay. Sean Payton and Drew Brees were always in lockstep. And right. Drew Brees always credited Sean Payton, and rightly so, with giving him the tools, whether it be the play calling or the people around him. It was always like there are a lot of hugs on the sidelines between those guys, and there just weren't in Green Bay. Part of it was, you know, Rodgers is an arrogant, has an arrogance about him, athletic arrogance. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it just is. And he thinks he's the smarter guy, and he thought that, and that clearly showed in his relationship with McCarthy. That went south, you know, fairly quickly, I think, you know, before we realized it was happening. So I think the resumes are the same. You know, that one Super Bowl followed by a lot of near misses in the playoffs. And you look at McCarthy's resume, there is that Super Bowl, and then it's like lost divisional round, lost NFC Championship, lost wild card round. You know, it's just like, hey, it just never came back together. But I think it's the relationship with the quarterbacks that kind of, you know, talks to that dynamic that you're referring to.
Yeah, because Sean Payton, and I don't know how much heat he takes down in New Orleans. I don't know what their sports talk radio is like down there. But his clock usage last week against Minnesota was awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
He doesn't use the timeout to avoid the 10-second runoff and then never uses the timeout. And Drew Brees doesn't even get a shot in the end zone. And look, defense can't stop the Vikings at the beginning of overtime, which, by the way, if the Saints had done that last year in the title game, we wouldn't be talking about that non-call. They would have advanced to the Super Bowl. And even his clock usage at the end of the first half, that was bad by Sean Payton. Really bad.
Yeah. But you know what? The thing that was weird was you haven't seen that from Sean Payton. He has been a guy whose intelligence has really helped him over the years, and he's been a good clock management guy. And, you know, Bill Parcells and Sean Payton talk all the time, and that's one of the things that Parcells was great at. You talk to Phil Simms, he says, you know what, Bill Parcells is the best clock management coach in the history of the game. He was amazing. I once asked Parcells about that. He goes, well, I worked at it. You have to really think that through a lot. And it's situational football. Now, Belichick's brilliant at it most of the time. And Payton just, I don't know what it was. He just didn't have it in that regard, and that really cost him in that game.
Talking to Bob Glauber, well, last week when we spoke, I don't know if we even mentioned the name Joe Judge. I can't recall.
No, there's no way we did.
I doubt it.
No,
It was Rule, it was McCarthy, it was whatever. Uh-huh. What's your feeling? We've gotten the Judge shock of him getting the job. We have Judge meeting the media, in which I think everybody agreed. Guy had as good of a press conference as you could have. Give me your overall thoughts now that we've gotten to know Joe Judge.
Well, you know, I think he's a promising young coach who you have to give him some time. I think he has really good vision. I think he understands what football is about. He's an old soul. He's an old school guy. Now, that's going to ruffle some feathers in that locker room, believe me. You know, the veteran players, and so Golden Tate tweeted something. He tweeted a picture of a guy wearing, like, foam pads, just a goofy guy wearing foam pads running around, and it's like me showing up to training camp. Well, that was funny, but that was also, you know, a guy like Golden Tate is not necessarily going to take to that because veteran players kind of know how to prepare, how to get ready. It's going to be really physical. It's not going to be fun. Belichick did it. Parcells did it before him. And it's physical football. That's a good thing. But, you know, it's going to take some time for people to get used to it. He's got a really good young quarterback in Daniel Jones. I think that'll work. And he's got to get the right guy in defense to make that terrible defense better with a lot of younger players. So, you know, I think I'm cautiously optimistic about the guy. I'm not going to say home run. You can't. 38 years old, never been a head coach at any level. But give him some time, and I think his vision is good. I think it'll turn out to be okay.
We all know none of this matters. Press conferences, how you come across, none of it matters. It's how you coach on the field. It's how the players get to you. It's the staff. All that matters the most. But I will say, I watched after the fact Matt Rhule's press conference. It didn't do it for me. He came across like a preacher, like a politician. I thought he was about to promise me free health care. I thought Joe Judge came across like as a football coach, and yep. Matt Rhule was, you know, running for office.
Well, Matt Rhule's press conference was extremely well received down in Carolina.
I know.
So, you know, but maybe that's not the same. But he is a native New Yorker, so he kind of gets the drill. I think Rhule was their guy. I really do. But I think Judge blew him away. He did very well at his interview on Monday. And I think the combination of that, plus the money that the Giants would have to pay to buy Rhule out, plus looking down the barrel of a 7-year, $60 million contract to match, they said, thanks, but no thanks. We feel we got a guy that we can do a lot more affordable, and a guy who is kind of younger guy. Not that Rhule is older. He's mid-40s, but, you know, 38 years old. Belichick coaching, you know, tree, Saban as well. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything, because a lot of guys from those trees have not been good as head coaches in the NFL or college. But what I like about Judge is that, and this is important, he's not going to try to be like Belichick. Remember Mangini? Yep. Mangini was like, everything was like, I got to be like Belichick. You can't do it that way. You got to be yourself. And Judge knows it. He said it. He's aware of it, and you know, he'll fail or succeed on his own as Joe Judge, not Bill Belichick's and Nick Saban's Joe Judge.
Now the question is going to be the staff, like you talked about. Any feelings on what direction he goes in for OC and DC?
No, I don't just yet. I think he'll come away with good coaches. I think they'll kind of reflect his vision. I'm curious to see. The bigger question to me is what does he run on defense, and what does he bring? Now, this is a team that's kind of got 3-4 personnel. A lot of the league is 4-3 personnel, and I'm kind of curious to see what he comes up with there, because that defense has got to get better, and it's got to get better in a very meaningful way. I just don't know what kind of scheme that's going to be.
No question. Enjoy Baltimore. Weather's nice up there, right? Just like here
it's
in New
nice.
York or down there?
Might get some rain. Might get some wind, but it's in the 60s, for God's sake. It's January.
Crazy. Have a good time, Bob. Thanks again for coming on.
You got it, Evan. Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.